to our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus. In this service, we learn by your Spirit, Holy Ghost meetings, by precept and by example, in the knowledge of your Son. Our eyes of understanding are open to see the unsearchable riches that is found in Christ. We behold him as he sees us in him. He's glorified, we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Now, we've been looking at Holy Ghost meetings or believers' meetings by precept and by example. By precept, that is, by teaching and then by example. Verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and that word means to make disciples, to train people in every nation. Then he says, that means the work of the church is not different from the work of the schools, the universities, college of education, polytechnics, or training centers, where the intention is to ensure that you learn. And one of the attributes of learning is that you acquire capacity. Because the proof of learning is your ability to do things. To do things. And we're going to look at a couple of some here. And we would likewise endeavor to put them to practice. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, so we learn that. Then, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things wherever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age, to the end of the world. Okay. And we said that word is didasco, which comes from the word didache, an explanation. Okay. So, in other words, he brings the church to the point of teaching. That is, we teach, we instruct people, to know. Now, I told you before that there is no difference between teaching and preaching. Teaching is doctrine. Preaching is the communication. I said that to you. I guess sometimes in the week I would weather in that more than I have done before. So, and then we said one of the things you learn, for example, chapter 2 verse 42 says they continue steadfastly. Chapter 2, Acts of the Apostles, verse 42. They continue steadfastly, which is the word proskaterio. I told you that. It means to, like, to anchor a ship somewhere and keep it there. To anchor a ship somewhere and keep it there. So, in other words, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, and fellowship. Okay? So, a key word there is that they continue in fellowship. So, one of the things that was critical or crucial was the meetings. The meetings. And I told you before, there are different kinds of meetings. I never used to know there are different kinds of meetings till I listened to Kenneth Hagin. And then I said, so there are different kinds of meetings. I didn't know. I thought everything is just church meetings. Yeah, they're church meetings. But there are different kinds of meetings. Just like in your organization, you have the board meetings, you have the staff meetings, you have some meetings, you have the clients, you have other meetings also in the universities, you have different lectures, you have different assemblies. Yet, sometimes it's the same people who come together, but they have different things that they seek to achieve with different meetings. Now, the church is just like that. We have different kinds of meetings. And I said to you that the most primary meeting is what? The teaching meeting. Why? Obviously, it's on the teaching meeting that we build every other teaching meeting, so every other kind of meeting upon. The teaching meeting is a primary meeting because that's what is primary. Again, let me repeat that in the church. It says, go into all the world and make disciples, train them by teaching. Train them by teaching. So, the most predominant activity, the most dominant activity and predominant activity will be teaching. Hallelujah. It's from the teaching, that's why they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Based on the doctrine, okay, Acts 2:42, based on the doctrine that they continued in, look at Acts 2:42. Hallelujah. Let's open that one. Acts 2:42. In the apostles' doctrine, teaching. That's the primary thing. And then there was fellowship and the breaking of bread, that's sharing of food, not only communion. And in prayers. So, in other words, there were prayers. And we saw that the second kind of meeting that we'll find will be the prayer meeting. The teaching meeting, then the prayer meeting. Now, if you have anybody who attends neither of the two meetings, he can't claim to be a disciple of the church. Because the teaching meeting is the primary one, where the word is taught. Now, today we call it Bible study. No, the primary church service is Bible study. That is the church service. That is the predominant church meeting. Bible study. Someone say Bible study. And I submit to you that what we have today, largely called Bible schools, is what the churches ought to be doing. That ought to be the typical Sunday service. Now, we have other things that could happen, but that should be the typical Sunday service. That's why you will not find a different kind of ministerial training in the book of Acts or in the epistles outside the regular church services. You won't find it. Now, are we saying that it's out of place to now take out some people and then begin to teach them differently? Not exactly. But you see, I submit to you again that what we call the Bible schools today, where people go to a place and then they just learn Bible doctrine, they learn Bible doctrine, they know what this one is not, and all that, that actually is the church service. That dichotomy hasn't helped us. Because it makes some people feel they are not obligated to learn several important truths of Christianity. And they believe they are not obligated. That I'm not obliged to come. I mean, it's not for everybody. It's for those who are in the ministry. So how do we get those who are in the ministry? They have a call. How do they get the call? MPA line. I'm joking. That's just don't take me seriously on that. But serious. Praise God. No. So, the church services ought to be a Bible school where you learn. I've heard some people try to say, well, the church is not a teaching center. Actually, the church is a teaching center. That's what it is. It is a teaching center. That is what the church is. So, if you find anybody in a local church that is not committed to the teaching services, he is not a committed member of that church. Primary. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you have learnt of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. So the people we say they are called to the ministry are actually faithful men. Commit the same unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Faithful men. Why are they faithful? Because they are faithful. Hallelujah. They are there. They are there listening to it. They are there studying it. They are there making a practice of it. So they are faithful. Who shall be able to teach others also. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So take note of that. The teaching meetings come first. On our priority. Then we have the prayer meetings. The prayer meetings. The prayer meetings. Glory to God. Acts 3:1. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray in the hour of prayer, or the time of prayer. That means the church had times when they prayed. So there's the teaching services, family services, then we have the prayer meetings, the hour of prayer. Prayer meetings. And it was after that that they had what you call an evangelistic outreach, when the crippled man was healed, and then people came out and saw what happened, and they heard the gospel and they believed. Acts 4:4. So we have the prayer meetings, we have the strategic prayer meetings, then we have the evangelistic meetings. What does that mean? When we take the gospel to the unsaved. Most of that does not happen in the church meetings, because we are sent to go into all the world. Mark 16:15. We are to go out and preach the gospel. But if an unbeliever comes in, by the virtue of what we preach, he should know Jesus and choose to believe or not believe. So Acts 8:4, some folks also came together. They went to different towns and villages. One of them was Philip, who went down to Samaria to preach Christ, evangelistically. Well, we have healing services. The sick are healed, the sick. Acts 8. What else? We have the Holy Ghost meetings. And that's what we're learning in this service. Holy Ghost meetings. What are Holy Ghost meetings? Holy Ghost meetings, pay attention, are meetings where the gifts of the Spirit, or the gift in the Spirit, as I've taught you, predominantly the utterance gifts, are in demonstration. They are in demonstration. Firstly, the Word of God is preached or taught. The Word of God is preached or taught. Then the Holy Ghost, because if it's a church service, we must preach the Word. Okay? Then the Holy Ghost, preached and taught, Then the Holy Ghost is given room for demonstration. The Holy Ghost is giving room for demonstration. You'll be amazed that there are some Christians that might have not experienced any of the meetings I mentioned. But very likely they've gone to pray somewhere. You can call that a prayer meeting, where you went somewhere to pray because you had problems. Say, there is this prayer meeting for people who are looking for jobs. Then you go there. That's not the kind of prayer meeting I'm talking about. That's a problem-solving meeting. Say, fruit of the womb. Then you go there. Maybe that's a healing service. Alright? Or teaching service cannot be a meeting where, in the middle of everything, before the meeting starts, so people come, they sing, and then after singing, okay, we start with prayer. Bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. That kind of prayer. Then we sing, and we sing, and we sing. Then in the middle of that, some people come and entertain us and show us some drama. Then after some drama, and all that's happening, then somebody comes just right in the center of it. Then he opens some Bible verses, 2.5. Then he quotes them, and they say, wow! He quotes them, then he mentions George Washington, mentions Obama, Osama, and Bin Laden. Then he mentions Donald Trump, Buhari. He talks about Nigeria, and he says, look, your own will be different. And then after finishing that, he speaks into your life. Then he speaks into your life. Then we go back to Thanksgiving, testimonies, and then we again prophesy again or speak into your life. Then we sing again. There we go. So, that kind of believer has never attended the shadows of a teaching service. Get it? Okay. That makes some have never even attended what you can call a Holy Ghost meeting. You don't even know what it is. A Holy Ghost meeting. You know, they don't know what it is. But they've gone for concerts. Amen. Or Jesus Christ Rendezvous. Come and have fun. Bring your dancing shoes. Then you also have. Then they eat suya night. Oh yeah. Now, do I like things like that? I do. Because I do organize things like that. Alright? You want to know where? I do organize things like that. But in the secular world. Okay? Jesus did not ordain me to go and do things like that to his own people. Okay? But you have some of that. Suya Nai, hey! Then you bring MC Laughter. He comes in. Then you say, Mokwe the drummer. You know that. And in the midst of all of that, the meetings that God ordained are missing. And so you find believers that they cannot respond to the things of God at all because they've not been trained. Have you ever invited, now I don't want to, this is not hate speech. Have you ever brought somebody from your village to Lagos before? The person has never left your village. And your village is not, is a real village. You know, there's some villages that are not villages. They're just called villages. They're town villages. But the one that is a village, very village, then you bring him to Lagos. You ready? How many of you watch Utopia in London? Come on. I'm not about to call you out. I watched this. You know, I can't remember, but I know that the guy was quite crazy. Right? He was just messing things up. Ah, hey, that's how an illiterate believer will do, for example, in Holy Ghost meeting. It is, what is this? What is this? I think it was in Sofia that he served him breakfast. He said, ah, what's this for? You know, am I right? I've forgotten it, but I think so. So what is this? Did you get the point? I think it was it the same movie that he took his clothes to wash in the swimming pool? Was it the one? I think so. I've forgotten the movie. I just watched it once. But, you know, that's exactly how an untaught Christian will do with the things of the Spirit. He is not taught. He will even laugh at what should be normal. Hallelujah. He's going to act weird, funny, because he's not been told. He has not been taught. So, obviously, pay attention now. From the things that Jesus taught his disciples and the things he showed them, on the day of Pentecost, everybody knew what to do. Because if there was one fellow who had not been coming to church or had never come before, Acts 2, 1 to 4. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is sound from heaven. Say sound from heaven. That means there was a supernatural occurrence in the place. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice that. And there appeared cloven tongues that as of fire. Verse 3. And it sat upon each of them. It sat upon each of them. Now, imagine if somebody was not taught. And they all began to speak with tongues. One of them would just be looking around. Was the Holy Ghost given to him? Yes. But because he wasn't taught. He would probably sound or say the things that those other visitors said. What was all this mean? Hey, oh, CBC trouble. And he looks more rational because he's talking rationally. Okay? But those guys were well taught. Because they were well taught, obviously, everybody cooperated. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've told you, being filled with the Holy Ghost is your call. That's what you do. Being filled with the Holy Ghost means to speak. And they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, everybody was taught. I must have shared with you the story of one of my past business colleagues. We were working in the same company together. And she told me how she went for a meeting. And then she said, she came back and I saw something today. Oh, hey, the things are happening in the body of Christ. Oh, I said, what's going on? Ha! You know, the church she was attending before, what they call the Holy Spirit had to do with fire. And killing somebody, destroying somebody, and attacking somebody. So she goes to a meeting, and then she said, Shekou, do you know what I saw today, yesterday? I said, what? Things are really happening, no? She said, people were just in the service. A service. Adults, young people. So what's that? They were just laughing. That they were crazy. So what did you now do? I just packed my bags. I'll never be found in such a place. So what do you think? I looked at her. I said, what do you think was making them laugh? I don't know. But it looked like they were crazy. And I asked a question. Now, do you have a problem with laugh? No. Do you have a problem with shouting? He said, no. Is it wrong to shout? No. Is it wrong to laugh? No. So what was the problem? It was just strange in church. Okay? When the pastor tells a joke, do you laugh? Oh, yes. Where? After the service? You keep the joke? She said, no. Okay, so what was the problem? Well, I'm just thinking, I've never seen it before. Exactly! You have never, but I almost said, you've never seen the Holy Ghost before, but I didn't try to say it. Because, remember, one day like that, she told me, there was a day that she caught a praying mantis or so. I think it was a war gecko. No. I can't remember. It's been a while. That's 2005. 2006. She said she caught something and took it to her pastor. The pastor said, did you pour oil on me? She said, yes. Yeah. So you're still a baby Christian. She should not have poured oil on me. She said, you should have put your handkerchief on it or something. So you can see what she thinks is the Holy Ghost. Who's following what I'm saying? Therefore, she will act like the unsaved man that Paul says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. That's what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 2:14. They are foolishness to him because they are spiritually discerned. It doesn't mean they are foolishness, but they are foolishness to him because of how he reasons. Now, so after I was able to tell her that, look, this God. I said, does God make people laugh? She said, of course. Where else should he make them laugh but in the church service? She said, I get your point, but somehow. So I just told her, I said, you know what you should do? Because I knew that particular church. I said, try and attend their meetings often. Because man is a product of influence. Do you know that in less than a few months, she started attending the church. And then she learned what she was laughing against. Right. That happened in 2007. So, sometimes, it's just how we're brought up. How we're brought up. Sometimes. It's just how we're brought up. Some were brought up, for example, to give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand! Pa, 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 pa! They say, well, is that in the Word of God? Somebody was telling me, he said, well, I find it very odd that in your churches you don't clap, you don't clap, you don't clap. Why didn't you clap? Why didn't you clap? I said, why should we clap? Why should we clap? To praise the Lord. So where is it in the Word of God that you clap to praise the Lord? He had never asked that question before. Where is it in the Word of God? I said, you know what? I'm going to give you a tape. That was in 1999, I think. So I'm going to give you a tape. We used to call it substitution brass for gold. So he listened. And we went through all the Old Testament where the word clap was used. It was used for mockery. He had never seen it before. Well, we had. That's why we stopped. Hallelujah. You know? And he said, wow. Even Psalm 47 verse 1. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Are you the people? You better know the people he's talking about. He's on it. So what did you notice that they did with their hands? They lift, they raise their hand. Oh, good. They raise their voice. Wow. But she thought he was right and we were wrong because he didn't know better. Follow what I'm saying now. Come on. Follow what I'm saying. So sometimes it's the way people are taught. And they are taught. I used to be a praise worship leader. I still do. In fact, up to what year in Saints Community Church here, I used to take the worship session myself. I used to be a choir leader. And when I lead praise worship for you, we used to call it back then crazy and torture. Don't bother your head what that meant. When I lay praise worship for you, you will do it. But I learned the Word of God. And I saw that this is the Word of God as touching praise. And then I started renewing my mind. I renewed my mind. The clapping is neither praise nor worship. Now, some people say, well, clapping is to just have the beat to the song. Fine. Fine. You can do that. But how many beats do you want to have? When the drum is playing? And more so, like I just told you, in the Old Testament book, I just told you, the word clapping was used for mockery and to signify defeat. I just told you that. So, sometimes, it's just ignorance that makes some of us laugh at something that is real. Don't forget, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. And those things are spiritual discerned, 1 Corinthians 2:14. So, when it comes to kinds of meetings again, don't forget about what we started. You have meetings, which I said, Holy Ghost meeting, where the Holy Ghost is in demonstration. And precisely, the utterance gifts. What did I say again? The utterance gifts. So, Jesus must have taught them. Now, so we have Holy Ghost meetings. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you there? All right, let's see it together. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Glory to God. Okay? How is it, brethren? How is it then, brethren? When you come together, let's go. Every one of you. Let's do three things. When you come together. Alright? Now, is it when you come together all the time? No. Because obviously this is a kind of meeting. You know, he didn't talk about prayer at all. He didn't talk about, in fact, the word doctrine there, it depends on, it's to say something like a teaching, a lesson by the inspiration of the moment, which is what we're doing this morning. So, he didn't talk about prayer here, even though prayer can emerge from it. When you come together, and then he said, every one of you hath what? Notice that. Everybody. That's important because that's the point. Everybody. So say everybody. So that means there is a kind of meeting in the body of Christ that all of us are involved. Everybody. Everybody's involved. Everybody's engaged. Every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Then what does he say? Let all things be done to what? Edify. You know that? Open it now. See? Let all things be done to edify. Look at 27. If any man speak, so in other words, anybody can do something. Anyone. No, but in this kind of meetings, everybody is involved. Glory to God. Everybody. So, in the Holy Ghost meeting, we are all involved. So, now, let's discover who does not participate in the Holy Ghost meeting. Backtrack a bit. Now, remember, we said Acts 2 is a Holy Ghost meeting. Remember that? They were all in one accord. So who does not get involved? Or who seems to be different or absent in the Holy Ghost meeting? 1 Corinthians 14. Watch this. Verse 23. Let's take it together. If therefore the whole church be come together, let's take it again. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues. Oh, hold on, hold on. You say, and what? Okay, let all speak with tongues. Okay, he says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak in tongues. Now, I'm going to skip the other words and say, you are mad. You're mad. I mean, if you've never said that before to anybody at all for any reason, maybe you're not in Nigeria. You say, you're mad. Why is it? You're mad because the person does something very weird. You are mad. You get it, you know, stuff like that. Why would someone come to church and say you are mad? Hey, see where I went, they were mad people. Praise God. Mad people, you do some very weird things. This is a mad. They're very, very mad. The fellow says they are madding. Present tense continues. Madina. Why do you say that? Who will come to church and say that? Praise God. Because he saw something that was weird. Who will come to church and say, "These guys are mad"? Paul tells us. Come on, get back there. And there comes in those that are what? Unlearned. Or unbelievers. What a group. The unlearned is very likely a Christian. Definitely he's a Christian. But he's grouped with the unbeliever. He says, unlearned. Unlearned is from the Greek word that means is untaught. It actually means illiterate. Now, is it illiterate academically or illiterate in the Word of God? So he will be the Usophia in the Holy Ghost meeting. You know, we have Usophia in London. This will be Usophia in the Holy Ghost meeting. Hello! He will say that you are mad. That's what he's going to say. You see? Because he is either an unbelieving person. He doesn't believe the gospel. Or if he believes the gospel, he has not been well tutored. So, there was a fellow like that some years back, where having a meeting, so we wanted to get the brother filled with the Holy Ghost. He had never been filled with the Holy Ghost. So he started crying. Initially, the sister that wanted to minister to him, we felt still that he was just desirous to speak in tongues. So he was crying. I wish the brother was around, because I'm going to have him one service one day. Because I still talk to him. So, you know, the point was, it has stopped him from crying. Then he got angry. Why did he get angry? Because where he was coming from, that crying was the manifestation of the Spirit. So he got angry. He wants to grieve the Holy Spirit. And he was yet to even sigh in tongues. Not speak, sigh. Like, he was yet to do anything close to that. But sometimes when you are very ignorant, you are arrogant. You are the chief of arrogance in ignorance. Ignorance in chief. So who will say you are mad? The unbeliever or the unlearned? Say, I'm not unlearned. Is that a confession? Are you believing for it? Say, I'm not unlearned. I am a believer. I respond appropriately to the things of the Spirit. When you are unlearned or unbelieving. Then he says in 24. If all prophesy and then come in one that believes not or unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now, what's prophesy? Prophesy means I will interpret the tongues in a known language. Then he is convinced. What that means is that we might first have to do a lot of explanation to the unlearned. So, because all of us at one time or the other were unlearned. So we don't throw away the unlearned, except he becomes very arrogant and disobedient and rebellious. We don't throw away the unlearned. We don't throw away the unbelievers. We bring them into the fellowship of the world so that they learn. Hallelujah. That's why I said, the folks that won't speak in tongues, I said, well, let's get them through the Holy Ghost first. So that we all can be on the same page. And you know, they don't have to be, so I've been speaking with tongues for 6 months before they participate in the Holy Ghost meeting. Am I right? They can't. They don't have to. Because here's Paul in Ephesus, Acts 19:6. He gets to Ephesus. He met these guys in verse 4 and 5. He preached the gospel to them in verse 4. In verse 5, they were born again, saved. In verse 6, he laid his hands on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And prophesied. They prophesied at the crusade ground. They prophesied. The first action of theirs in Christianity was to prophesy. Some of us, it took us years. Yes. But this is some folks, the very first day, they prophesied. So they prophesied. The very first day. The very first day. That is, let's assume it was an altar call. No, it wasn't. And they came out and they said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Woo! For the lizard. Immediately they were Mover, Conga, Batiza, Batita, Obra, Pathadus, and you will walk worthy of the Lord. And you will walk in His light. And you will comprehend the truth that I found in Christ. And you will be bold. And you will be strong. And your feet will find its path in the light of life. Your feet will find its path in God's purpose and plan. And your hands will not wither in that which you put your hands upon. For you will walk in all the flourishing and the fruitfulness of the Lord. Amen. I wasn't acting that, I was saying that. Praise God. But you see, they said that on the first day. I didn't. What about you? Took us a while. Because we felt that it was a height in the realm of the Spirit. I remember there was one brother that was very Jim. Very, you know, Jim, brother. We never heard it before. Jim. So one day he came back, he came for the meetings, and his eyes were big, red. I said, what happened? He said, when you grow in the Lord, you understand. I said, what happened? They said, a demon gave him a blow when they were having spiritual conflict. I said, I don't want to grow. Blow. No. Well, people cannot explain what happened to them. They look for one mysterious spiritual experience. Are you there? See, I'm not unlearned. I am open to learning the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, I told you on Sunday, last week, that how do they all, everybody joins everybody to do? Let me ask you. Now, when you come to a service, let me give you an example now. You come, sir. You have a permanent seat here. You start from that door. As if you're coming in, watch something. He's coming in as a believer. He's coming in. Now, naturally, as you come in and we are seated, what do you do? Come in. That's your seat, right? It's not natural to come straight like that and come and sit in the middle. But let's assume that's it. He comes in, then he does what? He sits. Right? Why? Because he found us seated. We'll say, why are you so stupid? You just sat down. Should you sit down? What if, let's stand up. Let's do one more. You come in. You again. Sorry, sir. Just some exercise for you on a Sunday morning. Alright. He comes in again. What will be the right thing to do? Come in, sir. He will stand with us. Right? What if he just lies down? We may need to dedicate the service to him. Right? That's a normal thing to do. People are, so that's how to cooperate. You see what people are doing, then you do it. Let's sit down. Now, what if we were praying? What would you do? You pray. Okay? Now, the only person who will probably come in and just look at this may be a non-Christian. Or somebody who has not been taught prayer. Right? What if you come in and we're all lifting our hands and saying, we lift our hands. Because you have seen lifting of hands before, you don't come in and go, hey, well, see punishment. No, but if you were in my boarding house and you enter the dining hall and everybody goes like this, that's not lifting of holy hands. That is punishment, alright? And you don't say, maybe you are in Form 1 or GSS 1 and you're coming inside, everybody lift their hands, you don't go, what's us? You receive a dirty slap. You see this? You know there's dirty slap, there's two. Because what you normally will do what everybody's doing. But if you're a fresh student in the school, and go, what's all this now? When I got the boarding house, I would talk doing grammar. So a guy, I told you my first day. In the afternoon, we met at what is called the black tank. The black tank has been in my secondary school since the 1950s. My dad used it. I think my uncle did too. So I got the black tank and I put my bucket there to get water. And that guy came in here. Said, I said, no, you can't do that. We both have the same right in this school. The guy smiled. He smiled at me because there's something called the week of grace. So he said, all right, week of grace. I said, no. I even went back to the room to tell people that, no, you can't. because you can't write me. I know my right. You know. But that evening was when I knew my right. I got to the room and I saw a bed was wet. I said, who is this in the secondary school? This person does not deserve to be in the secondary school. And it was in Form 5. I started thinking about my studentship that evening. The punishment that I never enjoyed the week of grace. The guy dealt with my soul. You get my point? The next time I went to the same black tank and I saw a senior come, I moved my bucket back. That is practice. I moved it back there. What am I saying? You have known lifting of hands. So when you go to a place, you raise your hand. When they are praying. So the reason why you will see something in a church and not get involved is because you didn't know. Just follow what I'm saying here. There's nothing special in being in one accord. It's not that you felt something. No. You just, by faith, plugged in to what people were doing. That's what we did. That's all. That's what one accord means. You plugged in by faith. That's all you did. You plugged in by faith. The same way he walked in and he sat down. He walked in and stood up. He walked in, he raised his hand. It's the same way that you yield in a Holy Ghost meeting. Praise God. None different. Nothing different at all. The only reason why you will remain stoic or is because maybe two things. There can be three, actually. One of them is you are a non-believer. Or you are not taught this. Or somehow you came to the church with dishonor or strife. We'll look at that later. Dishonor. You have a problem in your heart. You just have a problem with somebody, or maybe the person preaching, or maybe the person leading the songs. You go. In 1994, I organized a meeting that I was teaching. And we had a 95. We had a Holy Ghost meeting. And this brother told me after the service, he said, I was not blessed. He told me, sir, I was not blessed. I said, why? He said, don't you know you offended me before? He was telling me.
So everybody was blessed.
I don't care. I don't care. Well, people who are born again don't say, I don't care that way. So sometimes it's just as simple as that. Just plug in. That's all. Just what were they doing? Just plug in. That's all. Now, you know, in a Holy Ghost way, when believers come together like that, okay, Paul says, everybody has. And so what means that in a Holy Ghost meeting, we yield to the Holy Spirit. We yield to the Holy Spirit in utterances. Now, our brethren that just spoke in tongues, they yielded in utterance. Utterance will be what? To speak. Mark 16:17, in my name, you will speak with tongues. New tongues. New tongues. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, you speak with tongues. What else do you do in a Holy Ghost meeting? You prophesy. Say, I prophesy. Prophesying is to interpret your tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets that the church may receive edifying. So which means, tongues plus interpreting of tongues equals what? Prophecy. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, you prophesy. You prophesy. Let's take it again. The Holy Ghost meeting, you speak with tongues. As you speak with tongues, you prophesy. You prophesy means you give what you said in tongues, you say it in your known language. In your own language. What happens when that happens? The church receives edifying. Building up. What does that mean? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. 1 Corinthians 14:3. You exhort the brethren. Exhort means to call attention to something. Are you there? To call attention. How many of you have been somewhere and somebody spoke in tongues and interpreted it and it called your attention to something? Come on, let me see your hand. Okay, that's it. You call the person's attention to something. It can be prayer. It can be fasting. I've been in a meeting before and somebody talked about fasting. And that was for me an exhortation. It can be about giving. It can be about friendship. They call your attention. Let me say something to you. Don't always go for the spectacular, then you miss the supernatural. The spectacular happens. It will always happen. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to have the spectacular, but then there's the supernatural, which is also, we can be spectacular, but doesn't always get spectacular. We'll look at that later. So, you speak with tongues. Look at verse 3 again. Exhortation and comfort. Comfort there means to help. So, when you prophesy, you provide what? Help by information. Help. Help. Come say help. By information. Help. By information. I've seen people in a Holy Ghost meeting receive direction for as simple as apply for the job tomorrow. He wasn't planning to, but he was told. Then he went ahead and got it. After that, I said, well, don't do it. Help. Praise God. And we can go on and on. Very simple. It doesn't have to be something spectacular. So very simple. In the Holy Ghost meeting. So, we said, in the Holy Ghost meeting, we speak. So I say we speak. Alright. So, what do we speak again? Tongues. What else? Interpretation of tongues. And what else? Prophecy. Holy Ghost. And as we say that, in what we say, we can also have revelation. Revelation means to disclose a fact or an incident or an event. Either that has happened, is happening, or should happen. a fact, an incident, an experience, or what has happened, is happening, or should happen. That's why verse 25 says, the secret of his heart, 1 Corinthians 14, are made manifest. He will fall down on his face and worship God and report that God is of the truth among you. So a fact is revealed. A fact is discovered. Revelation. Revelation. You know, sometimes one of the things disclosed could be sickness and disease. Sickness and disease. How many of you have been in Holy Ghost meetings where, or in a meeting at all, and somebody said what was wrong with you in the body, in your physical body? Let me see your hand if you have. How many of you have said that to someone before? Okay, so that's the Holy Ghost meeting. Remember, utterance, revelation, then what should be done? Sometimes it's the gift of healing. So in the gifts of healing, workings of miracles and gifts of faith. But look at the order. Let's look at the order again. What's the first thing? Utterance. Then revelation. That is, you say something, you show something, then you do something. Say you say something, you show something, then you do something. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diverse of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. Verse 6, verse 5, defense of administration, the same Lord. Forgot to say that. Verse 7, but the manifestation, 1 Corinthians 12:7, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To one is given the word of wisdom by the same Spirit, to another. He said the word of God to another. He talks about the descent of spirits. Talks about tongues. Taptation of tongues. He talks about prophecy. He talks about the gift of faith. The workings of miracles and gifts of healing. Verse 11 says, all this worketh that one, 1 Corinthians 12, and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. But then in chapter 12, verse 28, check it. God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, watch that, are all prophets, are all teachers, of all the gifts of healing, of all the workings of miracles, or work miracles. Then he says, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Then 31, covet earnestly, what? Now pay attention now. Covet earnestly the best gifts. The best gifts in church. What are the best gifts in church? Huh? Come on. What are the best gifts in church? What are the best gifts in church? How do you know? The next verse. For though I speak, speaking. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let's take it together. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let's go. Huh? Follow after what? Love, that's charity. Uh-huh. Desire what? But rather that you may what? Prophesy. That is the utterance gift. So the utterance gifts are the best gifts. Where? In the church. Now, to the world, what are the best gifts? The power gifts. Because the world, they are not saved. So, the more spectacular, the world. The more supernatural, the church. To the world, the power gift. To the church, the awesome gift. Verse 5, that the church, 1 Corinthians 14, may receive edifying. Let all things, verse 26, be done unto what? Edifying. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, in a Holy Ghost meeting, what's primary? Utterance gift. Okay? Then revelation gifts. Then what? Power gifts. Now, in a Holy Ghost meeting, look at verse 26. When you come together, every one of you has what? A psalm. What else? Let's take it again. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Every one of you has what? A psalm, a doctrine, tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done to edify. Okay, so it's saying that you have all that five in the Holy Ghost meeting. You have all that five. Which one do you start with? Verse 27. If any man what? So, how do you start a Holy Ghost meeting? How do you start a Holy Ghost meeting? Give a tongue. How do you start a Holy Ghost meeting? You talk. Then interpret it. Then you have revelation. That's the order. Tongue. Was that the day of Pentecost? Was that the day of Pentecost? Tongues. Did that be your tongue? Tongues. Then interpret your tongue. Then the revelation. Then the power gift. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, let's talk about the Holy Ghost again. The Word of God is preached and taught. The Spirit of God is given room for demonstration. And what is that demonstration? Utterances, revelation, then power. Come on. And power. Okay? That means when that goes on, the church is edified. The needs of the people are met. Praise God. Say in this meeting this morning, my needs are met. Say my needs are met. The needs of the people are met. And then add one more. The people are full of joy. The people are full of joy. Now, there's a joy that many of us are used to. You got some good news from someone, you shout about it, you go, yay! That happens a lot of times. You know? You have that joy even in the stadium. Yeah! You shout. And you sing. But I used to be a supporter in the supporters club. You drum. Okay? Well, we're not losing. We need to go down small, small. When we re-equalize, like we do re-equalize. Well, we now lose. Bang, bang, bang. Like funeral ceremony. You know? So anybody can do that. And some people are so used to that format. You know? But there's such a thing as joy in the Holy Ghost. Some believers don't know what it is. You know, I didn't know it. Even though later on, when I look back at my early days as a Christian, when I was not taught, I discovered that I experienced it without knowing it. Joy in the Holy Ghost. What's joy in the Holy Ghost? Joy in the Holy Ghost means to rejoice. And rejoicing is an action. Remember something we said earlier that about when that brother when he went out and came in, and I said that's how to do something in one accord. Look at Luke 24. Hallelujah. This was after Jesus left their eyes, the sight, and he gave them the mission to go into all the world and preach. Let's take verse 51 to 52. Everybody, let's go. Everybody, come on, let's go. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up in heaven. 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? So it's a great joy. Now, the word great joy here, the word great there, was deliberately put as an adjective of something people saw. Great joy. And obviously, it was, you know, it is so strange that when he was taken from them, they were in sorrow. That's when he was arrested by Pilate and all that. But now, he leaves and they have great joy. They must have known something that they never knew before. They now have great joy. Such that the next verse says, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Did they win a lottery? Talk to me. No. Did they just get a visa application approved? No. Was it a wedding ceremony? The wedding ceremony is what you see, all sorts of dance steps. No. But they had great joy. Why did they have great joy? Because they were born again. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. You in church? Look, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, they came back from a crusade. He said, Master, the demons are subject to us, verse 17, through your name. Then he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, can we take verse 20 together? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Pay attention now. In this rejoice not. That the spirits are subject unto you. That is, don't rejoice at an happening. Oh, you know, we're all used to that. Hey! And you're happy. Or you got an appointment letter to United Nations. Woo! Sometimes, right on the phone. I remember when I found my bar results, my call to bar results, my bar results, yeah. And the guy told me on the phone, I threw the phone away. Because I couldn't imagine having to rewrite that exam. I threw it away. Yo! You know, we all do that. Right? Now, if you came around and say, why did he throw his phone away? He just got his bar exam result. You'll have gone, wow, congratulations. But if you come to church, and then someone says, woo! Throw his phone away. See? Is he mad? He said, why is he doing that? Because he's born again. Like you are forced to say. You know, you think that's all. He says, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because you are saved. Hallelujah. See it? That's the difference now. Then look at Jesus now. Look at it. So he gives them Jesus always did it by precepts. And by example. He will teach it, then he will do it. In that hour, Jesus was rejoiced. Now, if he meant in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Was it like Jesus rejoiced? Guys, I rejoice. I rejoice. There was a master. We don't know you to be a dramatist. This doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be the one to say you are rejoicing. You should be the one to say you were rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because the word he used there is the word agaleo. A-G-A-L-L-I-O. or A-G-A-L-L-E-O. It actually means to leap. It's an active verb. Okay, he said he rejoiced in spirit. When they told him that the demons were subject to his name, he did not rejoice. But here he is, he rejoices at the new birth. What did he say? What's agalio? Agalio means to leap. To leap. You know, your legs are moving, you're moving, you're moving. Then the Greek scholar says in reckless abandonment. That is, it is uncoordinated steps. You know, there's a regular dancing, which is called a dance. If you read the Bible talks about dance. In the dance, you can go. Can I even go? You know? That's a dance. Can do all this. But this is uncoordinated. That is, it's not a difficult one. Now, it's very likely that if you are unlearned, you say, what's all this? See that again? Uncoordinated. A leap. Some renderings have it like he ran. It's like a wild excitement. That's Jesus. God in man. Hallelujah. Remember, Zephaniah says, he rejoices over us with singing. Hallelujah. You know, joy also comes with laughter. Glory to God. Laughter. Laughter. So that means we can laugh in church without a joke. Remember, we can laugh and joke without a joke. Not funny. We can. You know we can. No joke. Glory to God. If someone beside you is laughing, ask him whether it's on limit. Or an unbeliever.